Well, I invite you to turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We're continuing the discourse of Jesus as he talks about his second coming. And one thing that will take place when Jesus comes again is the judgment seat of Christ. And this is reflected here in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Through a parable. Now listen to this story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, look, you delivered to me 5 talents, and I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And he said the same words to that servant. And verse 24, and he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money into the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has an abundance from him, what he does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and how he tells the truth, whether we like what he says or not. Lord, the judgment day is coming, and Lord, we need to know we're prepared. And I pray that you will help me as I deliver this message this morning, and may each person be attuned to what you have to say to us from your word. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What's the toughest, most unnerving, palm-sweating exam you have ever taken? Well, if you were a law student, you would have to say the bar exam would definitely be such an exam. Or perhaps you know you need to have a certain course. You got to pass this certain course in order to graduate. And it's the final exam. And if you don't do well, you're going to fail and you're not going to graduate. I can imagine that would be a tough exam to face. When I did doctoral work, I had my ministry project. And in order to graduate, I had to go before my professor, the academic dean, and my field supervisor and defend my project in ministry for 2 hours, as well as the report itself. And that was unnerving, as you can imagine. Well, our text of Scripture describes the ultimate final exam. When you will stand before Jesus Christ and He examines your life. And the saddest picture that we see here is of some who would think that they're a part of the people of God, would think they're saved, but instead they hear that they are to be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But on the other hand, we read of some who will be commended of the Lord and who will receive a wonderful reward as they enter into the kingdom of God. Now, which do you want it to be for you? Do you want to be sent away into outer darkness, or do you want to enter into the kingdom of God, a kingdom of peace and joy, where you will enjoy the reward that God has given unto you? Well, the answer should be obvious, shouldn't it? Well, so this morning, I want to share with you, based on this parable, how you can pass the final exam, how you can enter into the kingdom of heaven and receive both commendation and eternal reward from the Lord. And there are several lessons that I see in this parable. And the first is this, that God owns all that we have. If you understand that fundamental truth, it will transform how you live your life. Do you view what you have, your time, your abilities, your possessions, as yours to do with as you want, or do you view it as belonging to God and that you're just a steward of what God has entrusted you with? Well, that's the distinction that we see reflected in our text of Scripture. So this wealthy businessman, landowner, was going on a long journey. He would be gone probably a year or more. And before he left, he entrusted some of his possessions to three of his servants. He did not want his possessions to not be productive while he's gone. And so he wanted these servants to invest, to work hard, and to build his income and treasure while he was away. And so he gave them, it says, talents. Now, a talent was the largest unit, monetary unit in that particular time. It was basically 100 pounds of silver that he entrusted to these men. In today's market value, that would be about $41,000 for each talent of silver that was entrusted to these servants. Now, the businessman represents Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came but went back to heaven. He's been gone a long time, but someday he is coming again, just as this man came again. And we need to understand that Jesus Christ owns all that we have. He is Creator. He is Lord. Your breath belongs to Him, as we sang a while ago. Your abilities belong to Him. Your time and life belongs to Him. Your possessions belong to Him. All that you have is a stewardship. It's been entrusted to you. And are you using what God has entrusted you with for yourself, or are you using it for God and His kingdom? That's the question that we'll see unfold before us. But that's the starting place to understand that all that we have belongs to God. But secondly, we see that God is sovereign in bestowing our resources. Did you notice that He did not give all three servants the same amount of silver? One received 500 pounds. One received 200 pounds. One received 100 pounds. Now, why is it that the servants received different amounts to be entrusted unto them? Well, we read in verse 15, an explanation. It says, each according to his ability was entrusted to them. You see, this man knew his servants. He knew how hardworking they were. He knew how faithful they were. And so the one that received 5 talents had proven that he was hardworking, that he was trustworthy, that he had a good head on his shoulders. And so he felt like he could entrust him with quite a lot. But the next one, not so much, but still, he had proven himself hardworking, trustworthy, so he had 200 pounds entrusted to him. And then there was that last guy. Well, the master kind of knew him. He was more of the lazy type. He was not a hard worker. He was not very faithful, but he wanted to give him the opportunity to prove himself, so the master gave him 1 bag of silver as well. Well, even so, God is sovereign in distributing what He wants us to have. You know, some have a long life, some have a short life. Some have much possessions, some have few possessions. Some have tremendous talent, some have less talent. We all have differences. You know, the Declaration of Independence says we're all created equal. And in some respects, that is absolutely true. We are all created in the image of God. We all have immortal souls. We all have a certain God-given inalienable rights, like the right to life. But the fact is, we're not all born equal. Have you noticed that? You know, we don't all have the same intellect. We're not born with the same level of talents. We're not all born, some are born into wealthy families, some are born into poor families. And you know, life sometimes doesn't seem fair, does it? Well, you know, nowhere does it say in the Bible that it will be fair as we may want to, because God is sovereign in the distribution of what He wants us to have. Even when you're born again into the kingdom of God, the Bible says we all receive the Holy Spirit, but we do not all receive the same gifts of the Spirit. Some are endowed with several gifts of the Spirit, some very prominent gifts of the Spirit, some maybe only one gift of the Spirit, and much more subtle in its manifestation. But listen, God is the one that decides what we have, how much we have, and so forth, and we just need to accept that. And there's no use in complaining. If you feel like you got the short end of the stick, what you should do is be thankful for what you do have. And you just be faithful with what God has entrusted to you. And we're going to see in this story that your eternal reward is not based on what you have, but based on what you do with what you have. And so you may have little, but if you're faithful with the little that God has given you, then you will be rewarded just as much or more than the person who has been given much. You need to understand that. God is sovereign in the bestowal of our resources. But thirdly, God expects a return on what He has given us. That is illustrated by the businessman. He was going to be gone. He didn't want his properties and possessions to be idle, not making a gain, and so he entrusted possessions to these servants, expecting them to invest and to cause an increase while he is gone. And there are 2 examples of servants who did exactly what the master asked of them. They took what the master had given and doubled it just while he was gone. And so, on the one hand, some do well. If you look again at verses 16 and 17, it says there that He who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. Oh, how diligent they were, how hardworking they were to double their master's money. And look at the last of verse 20. He came before his master and said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Can't you just imagine that he said that with a gleam in his eye and a smile on his face as he pointed to 5 extra 100-pound bags of silver that he had earned for his master. You know, as you know, I'm retiring, and you know, for too long. And you know, if you're going to retire, you got to have some investments. You got to have return on your investments. And so, I like investments that have good return rather than the measly 0.1% you're earning at the bank right now. And so, here was a man that wanted a good return, and indeed, some do well. That's true in the financial realm of life. That's true in athletics, where somebody takes their God-given athletic ability and work hard and they get a scholarship, and some of them even turn pro and earn all kinds of money. earning pro, you know, some take what has been given to them and make a tremendous return on it. And even so, the Lord wants us to take the resources that God has given to us, and He wants us to build His kingdom. He wants us to expand His kingdom. He wants us to help build our church. Many of you have in your hand a copy of the Word of God, and you know, it is likened unto seed. And when you plant seed, what happens? Jesus said it produces some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And even so, God wants you to take your gospel and your word of God and share it with others so that by the end of your life, there will be several people, perhaps dozens of people, perhaps hundreds of people who have given their life to Jesus because you have shared the gospel, the word of God, with them. Will you be able to point to children and grandchildren that you influence for Christ at the end of your life? Will you be able to look around this church and see people that you witnessed to or you invited to church and you've had an influence upon their life? Just as you heard in the testimony, as Sean invited David and invited to church, and then not only is David with us now, but man, he's bringing all kinds of kids besides his own with him. Folks, that's what we're talking about, building and expanding the kingdom of God, being productive. God may have given you a musical talent. Are you going to just let it sit by and not be used, or are you going to use that voice for the Lord? God has given us monetary possessions. We live in one of the most wealthy countries of the world. Are you using some of that money that you earn to help those in need in the name of Jesus Christ to be a blessing to others? Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Notice that he's not endorsing this idea that I take all my money and spend it on myself, but I take some of that money and help someone in need. Will you go to heaven someday and someone from a faraway place come up to you and they say, you know what, I was informed that you gave generously to that Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and because of that, a missionary came to my village and told us about Jesus, and I'm in heaven partly because of you. Well, what was the secret of the success of the 2 who did well? Well, the secret of their success was not so much how much the master gave them, but how faithful they were. Notice that the master did not say, "Well done, good and successful servant." He said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He could count on them. He could trust them to take what was given to them and use it to grow his master's possessions. And even so, God wants you to be faithful. That's one of the most important things that you just need to learn as a Christian worker, as someone serving God, just to be faithful. You know, our Sunday school director, he doesn't call our Sunday school teachers to make sure you're studying and preparing your lesson. Why? Because we have faithful Sunday school teachers. We can just count on them to do what they need to do, but be prepared for their lessons. And we have some faithful Sunday school teachers during this COVID period where they only have sometimes one or two people in their class, but they're still faithful. Listen, God will bless faithfulness, and just be self-disciplined and committed to do what God has called you to do, and God will bless it. Just be faithful also over the long haul. That is so very, very important. There was a soldier who was dying in a military hospital, and the chaplain came to see him. And he said, "Chaplain, I want you to write a letter to my mama. And I want you to know, and I want you to tell her that I am dying a happy man because I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. And I want you to write a letter to my Sunday school teacher and tell her the same thing, that I appreciate her and I know I'm dying as a Christian partly because of her." Well, she got that letter, and you know what? Just a week before, after 10 years of teaching a junior boys class, she got discouraged and quit. But she got that letter and realized that she was making a difference for Christ after all. Folks, just be faithful to the end. Be one of those that hears Jesus say someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant." God called me to preach when I was 18 years old, and I've been preaching ever since. Being just faithful, faithful week in and week out to preach the Word of God. And we've got other faithful folks in this church. In fact, once a year we recognize those who have been faithful, certain individuals that have demonstrated faithfulness. That was the secret of their success. But on the other hand, some do nothing with what God has given them. They don't use their time for God. They don't use their possessions for God. They don't expend effort in serving God and building up the kingdom of God. Verse 18, He who had received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He just protected it by burying it in the ground. Now, in those days, they didn't have banks and vaults like we have today. And so if you wanted to secure your money, one of the most common ways was to hide it where nobody knows what you're doing, in the ground, digging in a hole. And, of course, remember where you buried the money when it's time to retrieve it. Cheryl's mom had a skating rink, and man, she'd take in all kinds of coins and everything, and she filled these big old pickle jars of money. And she was hearing things about what may happen to the economy, and she went to her farm and buried those jars of money. And some years later, she went back to retrieve it, and bless her heart, she kept wondering if there's still some jar that she forgot about buried out there on that farm. But that was very common in that day and time. But the point is, when you just bury the money, it's not doing any good. It's not earning interest. It's not increasing. It's just buried. And even so, there are people who take what God has given to them and basically do nothing with it. As far as the kingdom of God goes, they don't use their money to bless others. They don't use their money to give to support God's work. They don't use their time, most people even to worship on a regular basis. Of those who do worship, probably only about 20% are actively serving the Lord through the ministry of the church. Are you one of those who does nothing with what God has blessed you with? And why was it that this man did nothing? Well, he represents the fact that it's an indication that many do nothing for God because they're not saved. In verse 26, this man was called wicked. In verse 30, he was assigned to a place of outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, clearly representing someone who's not even saved. If you're not saved, of course you're not going to serve God. You're not going to build the kingdom of God. And so the first step is to get saved. And faith without works is dead, the Bible says. Do your works show that you've truly been saved? That you'll enter into the kingdom of God? But also because they're lazy. Verse 26, he called him a lazy servant. The only thing he did to lift a finger for the master was a couple of minutes it took to bury the money. And that's it. Did nothing else. Did not work at the investment, building investment. No, he was lazy, just like the master said. And you know, there are people who are like that in the physical realm of life. Man, they don't want to work. They just expect somebody else to take care of them. They're lazy. Some people can't, but others who are able-bodied ought to be working. The Bible says that. And some folks are as lazy as a hound dog on a porch who won't even lift their head to bark. They're so lazy. Don't be like that, the Bible says. There was a vacuum cleaner salesman that was demonstrating his vacuum cleaner. And if you've ever had this, you know by the time they tell you how much it's going to cost, boy, it's a lot of money. And so they heard how much it was going to cost. They wanted that vacuum cleaner, but they said, oh, listen, that's more than we can pay. And the salesman said, well, listen, If you have something to trade in, I can give you a trade-in value. Do you have anything lying around the basement that doesn't work? And the mom said, yeah, my son. No. Some folks are lazy. Some folks are lazy. Don't be like that. Don't be like that when it comes to volunteering to serve the Lord. I know it's a lot more comfortable just to sit in a pew, but we need to be serving the Lord. Romans 12:11 says that we are not to be lacking in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And there's a third reason why he did nothing with his master's money, because they have a wrong view of the Lord. This man thought his master was mean and harsh and, you know, demanding. And because he had this negative view of his master, he thought that, well, listen, you know, if I could even lose money if I try to, you know, invest it, and then the master is going to make me pay the difference. And so I'm just going to do the safe thing and just bury it. He was afraid. He had a wrong view of his master. And even so, there's a lot of people that seem to have a wrong view of God. They think that God is unfair, that God, you know, if you follow him, life is just going to be a drudgery, and he's going to make you work too hard and give all your money away, and he's going to send you to Africa, and you're going to, you know, be a missionary on some field, and you just have this awful view of God. By the way, I've been to Africa as a missionary for 2 weeks of the best experience I've had in my life. You know, listen, serving God is a blessing. It's not a burden, because what He calls you to do, He equips you to do. He will strengthen you. And when you love God, instead of having this wrong attitude toward God, you delight in serving Him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." Listen, I pick up Briley, my granddaughter, toss her in the air. She's 40 pounds, I found out yesterday. And about three times I'm wore out, okay? You know, three times of that. And for even 40 pounds is kind of heavy. 80 pounds would be really heavy for me. But to an Olympic weightlifter, no problem at all. Listen, you let God strengthen you. And it's not a burden. It's a joy. It's not difficult. And so finally this morning, God expects us to work for Him, to build His kingdom, to be productive, not lazy. You know, He wants us to serve Him. And the final truth is that God will hold us accountable. As illustrated in the story, verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. "Okay, I'm home. Let's see how well you have done with the money I have entrusted to you." And so they had an accountability session. A final exam is an accountability session. You know, we all need to be held accountable. And even so, the Bible says that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And when that happens, as a believer, if you do well, you will be rewarded. That's what we see here in our story. And there are two kinds of rewards I see here. One is praise from the Lord. "Well done, good and faithful servant," which I would expect will be said before the gathered angels and the saints at the judgment seat of Christ. "Well done, good and faithful servant." You know, I appreciate it from time to time when someone says, good sermon or something like that. But I tell you, what's going to mean the most to me is to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Will you receive praise from the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? But also, you can be rewarded with promotion to greater service in the kingdom. And we see that reflected in verse 21. "Because you were faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You know, these were servants. These were literally slaves. And yet, now He says, "I'm going to make you a ruler in my kingdom." If you've been faithful to serve God, to build His kingdom, then when the kingdom of God comes, some will even be rulers over villages or towns or cities or even states, perhaps even nations in the kingdom of God. Some are going to be in the administration of Jesus, right, serving right close to Him in the kingdom of God. Some may be leading worship in the kingdom of God, but only if you've been faithful to use what God has given you in His service. Promotion to greater service in the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, some will be rebuked and removed. Just as this man was rebuked, verse 26, "You wicked and lazy servant." He also rebuked him in verse 27 for at least not putting the money with the bankers and let them pay some interest on it. "Man, you could at least do a little something for me while I was gone." And every Christian can at least do something for God. You may not be able to do something magnanimous. You may not be able to do something that the world sees as impactful, but every one of us can give a little. Every one of us can serve a little. Every one of us can do our part, though little, in building up the kingdom of God. Will you be among those who will be rebuked, or among those who will be removed? Verse 28, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And then in verse 30, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. God has given you life. God has given you breath. If you don't use that life for God, you're going to lose that life. You're going to lose that life. You know, you can build up all your possessions, store up over $1 million in the bank, have all your possessions stored away in these warehouses. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lose every bit of it. You're going to lose every bit of it if you don't know Christ. If you haven't been following Christ, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Listen, you can't avoid standing before the judgment seat of Christ, before the Lord. It's inevitable. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment, the Bible says. And the question is, when the Lord holds you accountable, when the Lord examines you, will you be commended and rewarded, or will you be removed from the kingdom? Think about it.